I listen to 2ARM 92.1 FM in the car and at work for great tunes and community news.
Put those search lights up on the tower right now. Move, move.
Hi, I'm Herb and welcome to Community Spotlight. Today the Community Spotlight is on the National Parks Association and in particular the Armidale branch. Now I've got two representatives here. I've got Pat Schultz and Lynn Hoskins. Good morning, you two.
Hi, Herb.
Hi, how you going?
I'm very well. Now I might start with you, Lynn. Tell me, you're the president of the Armidale branch of the National Parks Association?
That's correct. At least I am until this evening when it's the AGM and we'll see what happens then.
We'll talk about the AGM right at the end.
Right, yeah.
How long have you been with the National Parks Armidale branch?
I've been a member for 40 years and this is the 50th anniversary of the Armidale branch. It was formed in 1974. So it's a very well-established old conservation group.
And what's the role of the National Parks Association?
Basic NPA NSW began in 1957, and its broad aim is protecting nature through community action, basically, connecting people with nature and trying to protect our precious places.
Now, I see here you've got a website, and the website is npansw.org.au. I see there's a number of things, but there's three in particular, providing a range of bushwalking and other outdoor activities for all ages and levels of fitness, campaigning on key issues in local areas and coordinating bush regeneration, cleanup and survey activities. So that would sort of, in a nutshell, would be the three things that primarily that you get involved in?
I'd say that we're a bit broader than that. We're very keen to get people involved in all ways of appreciating nature and learning about nature, including some publications we put out about the values of travelling stock routes and reserves throughout New South Wales, some of which are under threat. And also we're currently involved in the third edition of a little booklet called Family Outings Around Armidale, which the Armidale Council's Visitor Centre cherish. They only have one copy left. So we're working with council to produce a third edition.
You said the 50th anniversary of the Armidale branch that was established in 1974. Have you got any idea who might have established it in 1974?
Yes, I have actually. As a local solicitor called Ian Johnson, he had the idea. There were already branches elsewhere. In fact, Tamworth branch pipped us by the post by a couple of months, then Walker, and then Armidale in July 1974. The first president was Peter Metcalf, and he's still very active in environmental.
Well, certainly the tree group as well. He did Wattle Day Walk out at his place, mm-hmm. September, 1st of September.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a podcast of that here.
Yeah.
You had a poem, I think, you were going to read.
Yes, we had a lovely lunch down at the Bendemeer pub with Tamworth branch and members. We've got members as far afield as Inverell, Pilliga, Tenterfield, and some even down the Maclay Valley. Yeah, I wrote a little poem, Hip Hip Hooray, Tamworth Led the Way, Starting a Branch in April 1974, an historic day. 50 years on, we acknowledge the collective wisdom of members with knowledge quirky and knowledge profound about creatures that fly, hover or swim, hop, crawl or burrow, above or below ground. Botanical wonderlands, their secrets to share with other folks curious and those wanting to learn and with people who care. In 50 years, we've seen new parks and reserves like Werrikembe, Apsley, Cathedral Rocks, Oxley Wild Rivers, Warrabar, Ben Halls Gap, Washpool, Terrania, Torrington, Pilliga, Kunawarra, additions to New England and many more. These have all been parks we've been involved with. Respect for First Nations, custodians of country. We strive for our descendants, for a healthy planet, for our soils, catchments, rivers, forests, woodlands, grasslands and TSRs. I then have a verse about all the threats to our local environment and the species that have become extinct in the last 20 years in Northern Tablelands and Northwest region. But I end up on a positive note, yet still we have fun learning on nature strolls in precious places we respect. that we want to save now, to restore and for the future with all we can do in the time that we have left. Being a member of National Parks Association is an honour to cherish with glee. It feels very special to celebrate our NPA branch's 50th year anniversary.
Well, thanks for that. So is there going to be a bit of a celebration?
We've been having various events through the year. We've had two so far. We're having our AGM tonight. We're doing it in small celebratory walks and events throughout the year.
All right, a long celebration. So, Pat, I might turn to you now. The first thing here, we've got providing a range of bushwalking and outdoor activities for all ages and levels of fitness. Now, can you tell me, you've been involved in some tag-along tours, which sort of speak to that goal. Tell me about them.
About 12 years ago, NPA visited the Pilliga, which I might say we've been fighting to save for the last 20 years of various battles, the coal seam gas and way back to the charcoal plant they wanted to build at Gunnedah and take all of the ironbarks out of the Pilliga to make silicon. We continue to protect the Pilliga. Myself, with a few others from NPA, have led tours through the Pilliga Forest with the aim of stopping Santos's coal seam gas, which is an extremely destructive project. There's two aspects to it. One, I show people the coal seam gas and explain the risks to them, which includes a severe risk to the Great Artesian Basin. The Pilliga Forest is not over the Great Artesian Basin, but it's the recharge zone. There's very few areas where the water actually runs into the recharge zone, and Pilliga Forest is one of them. So it's really important that the water there is not contaminated, and Santos are famous for contaminating the water with the produced water that they bring up from underground. Another serious risk to the forest is that the forest is one of the last intact large forests in Australia, definitely the largest in New South Wales. And Santos will make roads and tracks for pipelines throughout the forest and completely fragment the forest, which is really going to decimate the wildlife with trucks moving around. It's going to become an industrial area.
Wasteland.
Wasteland, that's the word
So you talk about fragmentation and that's an issue, but what sort of species are important in Pilliga? Why would you want to protect Pilliga?
There's many species that are important in Pilliga. There's a pale-headed snake, there's several bats. The Pilliga mouse, it's the most famous. Some wallabies. There's still some small colonies of koalas in the Pilliga. The Pilliga mouse is actually in the area that Santos want to continue to sink coal seam gas wells. And several more. One of my favourites, I don't know how I managed to forget it, is stygofauna. Stygofauna live in the aquifers, and they are millimetres long, but they're extremely important because they keep the channels between aquifers clear. And they're not terribly well known. I only learned about them when I was writing a book about the Pilliga in order to explain the risks.
Has Santos put any areas away for conservation?
Santos have not conserved any areas, but there are conservation areas within the Pilliga. There are Aboriginal designated areas, there's conservation areas, national parks, private land and state forest. And Santos are concentrating on the state forest where they've got free rein to destroy as they wish.
So I suppose if you think about the level of land clearing for agriculture that has occurred across that sort of western plains and the slopes, and you add the Santos access to the coal seam gas, you're sort of just increasing the fragmentation for habitat, for movement, for species, all that type of thing in the Pilliga?
Oh, yes. It is serious. The clearing for agriculture, as you well know, the Liverpool Plains has been quite extreme and continues to this day. It hasn't stopped.
So I might turn to you, Lynn. You've been involved in Styx State Forest.
Yes, that's correct. For probably the last 27 years, Armidale NPA, along with lots and lots of local people, have enjoyed going out to the Styx, going to Wattle Flat, swimming in the Styx River, walking in amongst the most beautiful, massive, giant trees, old growth and rainforest trees, together with other community groups and individuals in 1999, put in a community reserve proposal to connect New England National Park with Oxley Wild Rivers National Park, and that fortunately resulted in the creation of Kunawara National Park that we had Dungudi support for. The late Diane Roberts and the late Uncle Reuben Kelly supported it. Unfortunately, many of the compartments that we'd recommended be included were left out. We hadn't made at all an ambit claim over the entire forest, respectful of people's jobs at the time, and respectful that there were foresters who seemed to be very professional with their work. But in the last, say, 5 years, the forestry action has increased a lot and isn't being done responsibly. We're very, very concerned.
So why is the Stick State Forest important?
For many, many reasons. Firstly, it's very important to Dungudi, Gumbangir and Unawan people. They're very concerned about its well-being. It's very important because it's a gateway and a connection to the World Heritage and Gondwana parks that are surrounding it. It's very important because it has a really great diversity of species, and many of them are endangered, such as the greater gliders and the Hastings River mouse. There are frog species that are endangered. There are bird species that are endangered.
So again, if log those areas, we're fragmenting the landscape.
Correct.
So on that eastern fall.
Correct.
So the passage, the areas and passageways that species require to move through to different habitats.
That's
and
correct.
And to provide food and resources is lost.
Especially, if I may say, since the 2019-2025 drought, the drought before the fires and then the fires, because if you drive down Raspberry Road, if you're going down to visit East or West Kundurang or Halls Peak camping area, you notice how devastated the forest has been. It's a depleted forest, especially on the western side. And on the eastern side, there are such precious places that really should not be logged that are now currently being logged. And it's very curious how it's very difficult to find greater gliders when you aren't actually really looking very hard.
So you've done some spotlighting out there for gliders?
Yes, indeed.
And have you found them?
Yes. Last November, we went into a compartment that's planned for logging at the time. And in 2 hours, we saw 14, and it was a rainy night. We camped out there in the rain.
So this is one of the activities that the parks do in terms of bushwalking and outdoor activities. You're getting involved in key issues, and this logging is the key issue, but you're actually also then going out and providing some survey, and you've got a bit of expertise within your group to do some of those surveys. The other thing was the Oven Mountain Pumped Hydro. It's another issue that you've got on your radar.
Yes, yes.
So tell me about that.
Well, it's actually been a scheme that's been around for 20 years or so. It's on private land adjacent to George's Junction. We first were alerted to something that made us feel a bit uncomfortable, in that one of our members spotted a tiny little ad in a paper where the proponent was appealing to Armidale Regional Council to close a public road, the Maclay Trail, which links George's Junction with East Kundurang, and it's also part of the Bicentennial National Trail. So quite a few of us put in submissions. It's remaining open, but George's Junction camping area currently is closed, and so is the road from Armidale to Kempsey.
So is it the closure of the road that you're the major issue, or is it the actual development of the Oven Mountain Pumped Hydro that you're concerned about?
We are concerned about it insofar as the EIS process was extremely complex, with 40 appendices to get through. The Aboriginal Cultural Heritage appendix was deficient, and indeed I think the Department of Planning has asked the proponents, it's now owned wholly by a Chinese company, it's been bought out. The impact on that area is going to be absolutely significant. There are environmental issues, and we're concerned about extra clearing for large power lines. We're concerned about the lack of transparency during the whole process, and we're particularly concerned with the Dungudi people's anxiety and upset about it.
So I suppose, again, more fragmentation across that eastern fall country.
Yeah.
Add that to the roads that are already there, add that to the clearing of the state forest for logging. Now, let's go back to the first thing, which is bushwalking. How do we get involved with the bushwalking tag along, Pat, to the Pilliga?
It's either email myself or a phone call to me.
So what's your email?
My email is pat.schultz, S-C-H-U-L-T-Z, at bigpond.com. And my phone number is 0428-725852. Alternatively, you could look up the NPA website.
So that's npansw.org.au is the website, but armidale@npansw.org.au. You mentioned earlier on about a walk that was coming up.
Yes, we've got a walk coming up at the Oki River Travelling Stock Route, which will be led by Kate Boyd, an ecologist. Along the walk, we'll also be practising using the iNatural site to record in Australian species and identify them. So we're going to have some lessons along the way, as well as enjoy a walk and appreciate the travelling stock route.
And how do people get involved with that walk?
Again, they can call me or they can email the address.
All right,
the same details
that were before. So we mentioned
I'm the contact for the walks.
Yeah, we mentioned.
Oh, and it's on Sunday.
On this Sunday. So you've got to get contact with you guys. But what times are you heading off?
We generally head off about 9-ish in the morning, and it does vary. We like people to contact first so that we know how many people to wait for, but it's the visitor centres, we generally car share from there.
Gotcha. So you mentioned a book called Family Outings Around Armidale. This is this is a very rare species. There's only one left in captivity.
Well, at the visitor centre, there's only one.
All right.
They guard it.
So you're going to reproduce the third edition of this?
Yes.
So it's a guide to picnic, walking, fishing, camping and other recreational spots in our local area. Now, I looked through it, New England National Park, Cathedral Rock National Park, Ebor Falls, Dengars Gorge, Barley Fields Lagoon. I'm just quickly going through. We're at Kimby National Park, Udall's Hut, Guy Fawkes National Park. So, and there's, is there a map?
Yes, there are maps in it.
So, I look there and I see 79 entries for places to go. So it seems like a very important book to actually have.
It's a great little book.
Particularly, I mean, Armidale has so many natural wonders to go and see in national parks. We're a home to national parks.
Mm.
If you want to go and see something, you need this book. So who's publishing it?
Well, we're publishing it, been in touch with people in the Armidale Regional Council. They've co-published and been involved in the past. First two editions. I would like to say it's not just national parks, it's state forests, it's reserves, it's travelling stock routes, it's quite comprehensive, but we're looking to ask people who are out and about going along, we can provide a sheet from that. We're going to at this time have it online as well. And so if anybody's going to any of the spots listed in the book, we're looking for update information. Some things won't change and others things have changed a lot.
So what's the timeline for getting this published?
When we get it done.
When you get it done.
It's a big job.
It is a big job, but even just publishing what you've already got.
Exactly.
And that will be probably available for sale, I suppose, through the visitor centre.
Yeah, that's correct.
So let's go back to campaigning on key issues. Tell me, in our local area, there's been, in the past, you know, issues with horses, wild horses in our national parks and our natural heritage areas, I suppose. What is the impact of horses in those areas?
The impact of, in the case of any hard-hoofed animals, such as cattle as well, and deer, not so much deer with the hooves, but deer with the eating, and that's become a really big problem. We're concerned about all feral species, introduced animals and plants, but I've actually served on the MPWS Advisory Committee on the Guy Fawkes Horse Group since about 2000, year 2000. The impacts are that they create a lot of erosion in the parks. I'm talking about Guy Fawkes, that's what I'm familiar with, but they're also in Oxley Wild Rivers.
And Kosciuszko, obviously.
Oh, definitely Kosciuszko. And, of course, we're a statewide body. National Parks Association, New South Wales, has worked very hard to protect Kosciuszko National Park, not only from the impacts of feral species, but of course also from inappropriate overdevelopment of resorts, and especially lately with transmission lines coming from Snowy Hydro 2.
I suppose I see the problem is that once you get a big population of feral species in these pristine areas and it turns dry, that's when the impact is most. So in those very good years where we have, you know, flushes of growth and plenty of water around, the impact isn't as severe, but when you've got the huge populations and the burden on the fragile habitats and they get into the waterways and pug up the waterways and erosion in the rivers and creeks around there, and just because it's so dry, the food and resources isn't there.
Well, it's also unfortunate for the animals themselves. Prior to, say, around 2000, there was another drought. Horses were actually suffering. Horses were literally dying in the park from natural causes and causes from the drought and fires.
And I think parks has some level of responsibility too when you've got animals, whether they're, regardless of what animals they are, whether they're deer or goats or whatever, if they're emaciated, pigs, if they're not only to remove them, but if they're in an emaciated state, there is a welfare responsibility.
That's right. And the committee is composed of a diverse range of people, including RSPCA members and horse groups, and people are working together in this area anyway to try and find the most humane and successful way of dealing with the problem, but it is quite a big problem.
Well, it's a problem that's now getting worse and worse, I suppose, as the numbers increase and then the forecast. Well, we never know what the forecast is in the climate at the moment, but with climate change, but what we know, there will be another drought and there will be pressure on the parks because of the population and burden, overburden of feral species in them. And you mentioned deer really are a bit cryptic, but they're sort of around just about everywhere.
They are. They're spreading a lot. And look, could I just put in a flag to the New South Wales State Government? We're concerned, Armidale Branch and National Parks Association in general are concerned that there's insufficient resources putting into all the land management agencies, no matter whether it be water, soil, park service. People are doing as good a job as they can given the reduction in staff numbers. We're not National Parks and Wildlife Service. I have to make that very clear. We're a voluntary conservation organisation that really aim to protect nature and take people out, communities, and in appreciation of nature.
So I see you as the link between that park service and people who want, the community who want to get out and have a bit of a look around.
Well, we are at times quite critical of the service as well. We're like,
well, that's fine
you
too.
You know, like friendly aunties, I think.
Yeah, that's fine too. So we've talked about providing the bushwalking and we've talked about the campaigning on key issues. That was the Oven Mountain Pumped Hydro, that was the Sticks and the Pilliga. Now, coordinating bush regen and clean-up and survey activities. Now, you did mention the Greater Glider Survey, which was the spotlighting that you're doing, and that's sort of part of that. What's bush regeneration might you have done or been doing? Pat, have you got a...
Kate Boyd has led the bush regeneration with National Parks Association, and there's several areas around where she has little groups of people that meet and weed and plant, and Snowgums Reserve up off Markham Street is one area, and she's also done quite a lot of work with the tree group and South Hill and around the creeklands.
Well, I know she was she had been a bonnet about broom for many years.
Oh, yes, she still has.
Getting the broom across from her parents' place.
Yep, that's in Snowgums.
That's through the Snowgums. But, yeah, I think she's done a fantastic job through there.
She is fantastic.
But the broom, you usually see the broom because it comes out in the yellow flower at this time of the year. I'll have to take another drive up there, but I don't think I've seen a broom. And if it was, she'd be onto it, I think.
Well, I walk regularly in the mornings and I haven't seen much broom around in recent years.
It's such a feral species, like you only have to turn your back for a season or two and it sort of spreads so quickly. And even just here at the station, you look down over into the train line area and there's stacks of broom, and you just know that if somebody doesn't get into that broom, it's going to be all through the cemetery. But so we've got those three things. So let's go to your AGM. You've got the AGM tonight at the Mike O'Keefe Woodland Centre at the Armidale Tree Group.
That is correct.
Starts at 6 p.m.
Yes.
It's the AGM, but all people are welcome. So obviously members are encouraged to come.
Yep.
Because you need a voting group of paid members to put
right.
the next group in.
That's correct.
That's important for the members of NPA. And I suppose if they haven't got their membership up, they might be able to bring their money with them and pay on the night.
We'll sign them up.
You'll sign them up. Or you'll actually re-sign them. So how much is annual membership?
Depends if you're a full-paying member or...
So full-paying member?
70 a year.
Yeah. And then I see on the website there's a stack of newsletters, publications. So you do get something pretty well, you know.
You're part of a statewide conservation group that's very active, not only in terrestrial conservation but also very strong advocates for more marine parks and reserves.
Well, I noticed there on the web, on the publications, and I just quickly went through the latest news, and there was things about wombats, there was things about biodiversity, there was things about campaigning in southern forests, whale, annual humpback whale migration, shark nets. So it's a diversity of all, because as you said, it's a huge organisation. There's so many things there, but if you got involved, you'd actually have access to being a part of that organisation, a big organisation, and making a difference.
That's correct. That's a big part of it. It's a good group to belong to, I've found, over the last 40 years. And the publication Nature Journal is very good. You can contribute to that as a member. There are also various things like the online newsletter where there's photographic challenges. You get a theme. The recent one was the colour purple. I saw you had a photo and I had one in that.
Is that why your hair's purple, Pam?
She's going with the theme.
Going with the theme. It's over now. But you could, so you've got 16 branches in New South Wales, I see on the website. Armidale's one. How many members?
In Armidale, we have, if counting families, 70.
Nice. So the three things, going back to that, if you're interested in bushwalking and other outdoor activities, you cater for all ages, from kids to the elderly, and for all fitness levels. So that's fantastic. And considering, you know, the ageing population that we've got and the baby boomers coming through, so I suppose it's important to cater for all fitness levels, campaigning on key issues in local areas, and coordinating bush generation. So if anybody wants to become a member and you're a welcoming group, you can go to you can send an email to armidale@npansw.org.au. You can go to the website and have a bit of a read, which I found was quite interesting. All the news and media is on there, so it's a pretty good website, npansw.org.au. Any closing comments?
Our branch has part of that website, and we've got an article on the Pilliga and the Styx. As well, at the AGM tonight, we have two guest speakers, Dr. Andrew Thornton and Dr. Sue Jager. We're talking about connecting people in a practical way to nature, so putting iNaturalist on their phone and being part of BioBlitz. There's a whole new ball game, isn't there, opened up since the advent of everyone having phones and being able to look things up and download and contribute to the knowledge in nature.
So is that part of like the community science sort of movement where you're...
Citizen science. That's what tonight's about.
Oh, nice. So,
as well, there'll be delicious homemade
soups at 6 and maybe some sourdough bread.
Some crusty bread anyway.
Some crusty bread. All right, so the AGM tonight, 6 p.m. at the Mike O'Keefe Woodland Centre at the Armidale Tree Group. Children welcome?
Of course, yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
All welcome.
All welcome at the AGM. And if you want to join, really consider being part of that, because it's without these types of organisations, a lot of the stuff that goes on in our nature areas or natural heritage aren't known about. So I think that's the connection I see with NPA and national parks and the way those reserves are managed, is that you guys are actually making that connection between them. All right. Well, thank you, Pat and Lynn, for coming in and shining the spotlight on the National Parks Association Armidale branch.
And I'd like to thank you very much, Herb, for giving us the opportunity to share this information and let people know about NPA Armidale.
Not a problem.
Thanks a lot, Herb.
Thanks, Lynn, and that's Community Spotlight.
Broadcast, then podcast. If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2arm.net.au/podcast. I listen to 2ARM 92.1 FM in the car and at work for great tunes and community news.